what my nails need to be trimmed, but I'm going to wait till afterwards. Yeah, I don't worry about the toes anymore. I'm to the old man stage, just yellow, nasty.
Just yellow, gnarled, nasty ass toes.
Got to get down there with a belt sander once in a while.
Makes it easier to stand up when they just, you know.
It's weird though, when I'm barefoot, I click as I go across the linoleum.
Oh, that's so gross. Little extra traction.
Yeah.
Oh, God almighty. That's
my scratching foot.
What
the hell are we doing?
We don't know.
Basically, it's going to be this.
I'm pretty sure we're going to have a whole episode of what the fuck was that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, what episode will it be, Charles?
It'll be episode 110. I'm Charles Breton.
I'm Helena Epstein.
And I'm Chris Henson. Together we are
a Jew
and
a Gentile walking to
a bar
mitzvah.
So those of you who've been listening in, we're at 110.
This crazy shit.
this podcast where you just, it's all the theology, cigars, whiskey, F-bombs, and now crazy shit you can stand.
The whole world's going to hell in a basket. Why not join us?
Yeah, hey, well, that's one of my favorite Grateful Dead lyrics. Maybe going to hell in a handbasket, but at least I'm enjoying the ride.
At least I'm enjoying the ride.
And you can obviously, we're treated to Helena with a respiratory virus going around. What better thing to do than fire up a cigarette while podcasting?
May as well. I mean, might as well.
Do you want us to give us a review on that cigarette?
Yeah. We have a segment called "What Are You Smoking?"
Tastes like cancer.
Complaining that she's actually smoking.
I smoked last week. I flaunted my nose at social distancing, and it gave me the flu.
See,
I don't even remember the last time I smoked a cigar. Right now, frankly, I can't even remember.
Gail was also on pipe lockdown.
Pipe lockdown?
Yeah.
I'm assuming we're talking about your smoking pipe, because anything outside.
We are self-quarantined. And I can still maintain the 6-foot distance between us.
Well played on that one.
If you're going to serve up those softballs. Let's talk a little bit more about our podcast.
Sweetie, I assure you those things, they don't get hard. They might shrivel up and hide inside your skull.
There's shrinkage. So if you're not listening to us on Stitcher or iTunes, why the hell not?
I'm working on Spotify now.
Working on Spotify.
Well, I've got all this extra time now.
Moving up to the big dogs.
Yeah. But we are also part of the Wild Goosecast Network, which is a network of faith-based podcasts discussing issues of inclusion and social justice. And to learn more about Wild Goose Festival and the Goosecast, you can go to wildgoosefestival.org. It's in the middle of July. Hopefully it will go on this year. Have not heard otherwise as of yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. I was wondering about that.
Yeah, so we'll let you guys know. If it does happen, we'll be there podcasting.
If it doesn't, we'll be here podcasting.
Exactly.
But we'll be clean.
And by the way, let's reassure our listener that we are maintaining our safe quarantine distances. We're each in our
different counties,
secret locations.
Secret. We're in our bunkers.
We're our bunker hunker down.
We're secret preppers.
My wife was visiting me.
I hope
a week
you know
so
the difference
ago.
Between those two.
Right, well,
that's a big difference.
Other than the 5 o'clock shadow, there really isn't much difference. Although, as my wife gets older, she becomes more like her mother, where she has these moments of just, those so brilliant, so well educated, yet just moments of sheer, how do you not set yourself on fire every day type moments. That my in-laws were surprised that they knew people that were prepping. That apparently went and bought booze from the local ABC store in mass to use for bartering.
Oh.
And so I'm like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Especially
that's
because
that's
going to
be the barter
get,
item.
They're going to get more value for a roll of toilet paper than they are for masks.
Right. Oh God, I can't talk about that.
They're all dead. Look at their assholes.
I can't talk about that. Look how squeaky clean their assholes are.
Speaking of which, we have some sponsors to thank.
Squeaky clean assholes.
Two of the squeakiest clean assholes you'd ever want to meet.
Men of the beard.
You could go a lot of ways with that.
We've done
most of them. So Men of the beard oil. You know, when you run out of toilet paper and you're using coarser materials.
I recommend rebel flags, Nazi flags, whatever that fucking Gladstone flag is. You get the picture there.
You get the picture.
Trump 2020 flags. Bigly useful for wiping your ass.
Yep. Cut up your MAGA hats.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure, there's plenty of material in there to go around.
Virgil Kane whisk from South Carolina.
And you could barter with it.
You could barter with it with us, that's for sure.
Because we can't get it in.
Because it is the official rye whiskey, the Robber Baron from Virgil Kane. It's our official rye whiskey. Four Saints Brewing Company in Asheboro. They're doing a really cool thing. They've closed the tap room, obviously, but they do have curb pickup service. You call ahead, tell them what you want, pay for it over the phone with your card, and you can either knock on their door or tell them when you're arriving, and they'll have it sitting on the curb for you.
Nice. Just no beers contact. And glasses? Or
no, growlers, cans, and they're also including their snacks, which comes from a local snack company in Asheboro, so they're helping keeping them going too.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. Like, and yet they associate with us. We still haven't figured it out, but we still drink their beer because it's really good. Top Leaf Cigar Lounge in Winston-Salem.
That's why I got the flu. I went to JR for my last cigar.
See, there you go.
That wouldn't have happened.
That's what you get.
Would
not have happened. Absolutely not.
I got a story for that when I do my cigar review, but yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right. And Imagine That. And that's an Etsy store where Natalie has all her wonderful crafts and art that you can see, and it's an Etsy store. So,
is she going to make masks?
Keep her distance.
I was going to say,
I see a lot of crafters are doing that.
I was going to put a plug in for Nat. She started yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Excellent!
Yeah, okay. She's doing her part to assist our woefully mismanaged country. Yeah. So,
well, other than Reverend Honeybear and Mrs. Gentile. Do we have any other healthcare professionals that even listen to us?
I'm a hospice chaplain. I work in healthcare, technically.
I have PPE
in my car.
I mean, people who are like nurses, doctors, occupational therapists, you know, people who work in healthcare.
I don't know.
Well, because they usually are really smart people, so I don't know if they'd be listening to us.
That's true.
Oh no, my wife hasn't heard a single episode of our shit.
Oh, not even. Yeah. I know Mrs. Dr. Almost Rabbi Jew has listened to a couple of them.
It's weird doing virtual chaplain visits with so many of my people have Alzheimer's or in nursing facilities that, you know, it's just not safe for them or for any of us to go into unless we absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. But it's weird doing like time of death visits over the phone.
That is weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
But it is what it is in this current reality, but won't be forever. So it's be over by Easter. Probably over before this podcast gets on the web.
Probably. All right. Well, we know what Helena was smoking.
Yeah. I want to hear a review of the cigarette.
Yeah, review of the cigarette.
Yeah.
That's proof that we are not in the same physical location, because had she lit up a cigarette around us, we would have just kicked her out.
Bullshit. She did it. She's done it like several times at my house. Yeah, she has to have her smoke on the way to the car.
Yeah. And she's done it at my house, but she goes outside.
It's kind of like, an athlete
in the lounge.
It's like an athlete after working out's got to kind of walk themselves cool. That's what she does with a cigarette.
Okay.
It's the cool down after the cigar. Which incidentally, she smokes one before it to kind of warm up. So
I know I need to quit, but now's not the time. Now is not the time.
So what was the binder and wrapper and filler on that?
I have no idea.
Paper, arsenic, and some kind of cotton.
Chopped up, mashed up tiny bits of tobacco.
You know, leaf. I smoke fancy. Well, I don't smoke fancy cigarettes. I smoke high tech cigarettes. They're the Camel Crushes, so they're regular or menthol, depending on your mood.
There's a menthol mood.
Yeah.
What is menthol mood like?
It's when you just need, you know, things to be a little cooler.
For that congestion, that's why you hang out with us. For that chest congestion, really.
Right.
And sinuses are kind of stuffy. Let me pop a menthol in. Yeah, I had this lovely taste of cheap tobacco and Vicks VapoRub.
Yep, with a cup of coffee every morning.
That's just for people that want to shit really powerfully.
I've got a clean colon, man.
Well, that's where you, well, you know, you have to now because toilet paper shortage.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you can always unwrap the cigarette and use the paper.
Or finally,
that'd
a
be
use,
a really tiny.
Finally, a use for acid cigars.
Paper. Nah. Still wouldn't wipe my ass with them.
I've wiped my ass with worse.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, we'll tell that story in a minute.
We might.
Yes, we might.
We shall see.
Since we posted,
I feel like that's appropriate since that became time in our nation's history.
Yeah, I did post that as a no context hashtag on Twisted Sisters Tavern.
Well, you didn't get flagged for it like I did for my last religious like post. Encouraging.
Well, that's because this one wasn't religious.
I know.
Mine was funny,
but it was an experience, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it's life changing.
All right, like, do your cigar review so we can start telling that story.
Yeah.
No, I went and had, hold on, let me pull it back up on the interwebs. I to let JD and them know, I do not smoke cigars at other lounges. I can buy in their lounge. So I went for the Arturo Fuente, which they do carry some Fuentes, but the Don Carlos line, the Bellicosa. It was in 2015, it was one of the top 25s. So it's a Dominican and Republic filler and binder and a Cameroon wrapper. And this thing had a lot of zest, a lot of fruity and nut kind of flavors and light coffee taste to it. Not quite that earthy that you get with Nicaraguan, but this actually had some earthy notes to it. It was just really good. But I totally had a JR cigar moment where, you know, like when I have torpedoes or some kind of special kind of ended cigar, and I was very careful cutting it exactly as you're supposed to. And then I made the mistake, apparently, according to the obese creature. And if I can call you obese, you've got fucking problems. It said, like, we have to wait till the cigar heats up to take the wrapper, the lighter, the label off. I'm like, the fuck is this? I've never heard that in all the years I've been smoking cigars. If you leave it on, you leave it on. If you take it off, you take it off. The cigar shouldn't disintegrate when you pull the label off of it, though.
No, that's a problem.
So I went back in with this half-lit, falling apart, deconstructing itself before our eyes. And the guy's looking at me like, you probably cut it wrong. I'm like, just stood there, shook my head. You know, I have shoes older than him. And I, you know, proceeded to explain to him. And he said, well, you know, the whole, you got to let the glue heat up.
Glue heat up, yep.
I was like, why don't you just admit that you put these cigars out here and they weren't humidified properly beforehand? So what I want you to do is, you know, give me a refund on this and let me get another cigar that I will this time take the time to inspect more closely, because that's something I don't have to do at Top Leaf Cigar Lounge on First Street in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, because they let their cigars rest if they've been road weary before they put them out for purchase. So that second cigar was really good. And, you know, other than, you know, really pantsing some millennial for trying to teach me about cigars. It's like, I don't come in and knock the vape stick out of your mouth when you're at work, so don't fucking irritate me. And of course, what did God do to punish me? Flu.
Give you the flu.
That's it. That's my review.
No, that's your review.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could probably edit out like 90% of that. It would
be just as meaningful.
Yeah, just as meaningful. Which, by the way, no, I have heard people say that a lot of it has to do with the glue that the manufacturer uses.
But I've never had that with a Fuente, that problem.
There are some times, because you got to remember, it is a handmade product. I've had even really expensive cigars where whoever put the band on used too much glue and literally glued the band to the wrapper.
Well, the second one, I'm in there with the guy. I cut it and light it. And before it's gotten a chance to heat up, I just hold it upside down and the band drops off onto the counter.
Right. Which usually happens.
At that point, you know, he probably went home and wrote an angry blog. He probably tweeted, whatever the fuck people like that age do. Hey, Lane, I don't know what they do, but.
You know, I don't know that shit.
So, but I didn't want to put it out on his forehead like the kid at Wild Goose. So,
right.
You know, so he's under the cigar prick hierarchy. He's currently number two on the list.
Okay. We'll see what happens. We'll keep that bracket going. Yeah. Okay. Well, I had a LFD small batch number 4 Scuro recently.
So you're on pipe lockdown, but not cigar lockdown.
No, I'm on pipe lockdown, which means that I'm on cigar quarantine lockdown with just the pipe. The cigars are too heavy for Gale, but the pipe is more pleasant. So I can smoke my pipe as much as I want. I've got a nice English blend going. But,
so she can be in the room with you? Or?
Yeah, but also her office is right next to mine, and the way the exhaust goes, it blows outside, and then the wind blows it into her window, so she can smell the cigars.
Ah, you got a back porch.
Well, when I do cigars, I go out to the front of the back porch, but if I'm inside, I do that. But before this happened, before she told me she would prefer I did not smoke cigars in the house for a while, I had an LFD small batch number 4 Oscuro, which has a Dominican Pelo de Oro Oscuro wrapper, Dominican binder and filler. Wrapper is gorgeous, rosado color, nice and toothy. You can almost squeeze the oil out of it that it picks up with that Oscuro process. And of course, well-constructed, like anything from Lito Gomez. So it has the coffee, black pepper, a little bit of leather, slight creaminess sort of in the background, and that beautiful just sweetness that comes from that Oscuro wrapper. Seen all sorts of different descriptions people have had for it. Mainly people use it some sort of fruit sweetness, not a sugary sweetness. I just know that those flavors just mingle and go back and forth, and it's really wonderful, and I enjoyed it. So that's what I smoked, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Mm.
But right now, yeah, I'm doing a Margate English blend in my pipes, which, considering that I'm working mainly on the computer, I prefer pipe because then I don't ash on the keyboard.
I have a pipe lighter now. I went and
that's right.
JR, after the little dickhead gave me his cigar lecture, you know, he's like, we don't sell pipe lighters. And so I walked around to where the lighter section was and pointed to the section that said pipe lighters, and then had to explain to him what a pipe lighter was and why it was different from a cigar lighter.
Wow.
So it was like Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood or whatever. I'm not Mr. Rogers. I'm more Eddie Murphy, like, you know.
Yeah, Mr. Robinson.
Old Saturday Night Live version. More millennial references lost on millennials, I'm sure.
Well, he also could have been a Gen Z, so.
She's counting. She's crocheting and counting right now. She literally has no clue what we're doing.
I do too. You're talking about things that millennials don't know, and I'm sure you're right.
What are you making? Is it like the smallest yarmulke in the world, or?
No, it's for my nephew.
Well, he's small. Yeah.
It's so I decided to make him a stuffed animal, right? Because I crochet, and I had a little, I had a stuffed donkey when I was a kid that was like my go-to. So I was like, I should make this.
What was the name of the donkey? What was the name of the donkey?
Eeyore, obviously.
Did it look like Eeyore?
Was it an Eeyore, or was it just a donkey you named Eeyore?
It was a donkey I named Eeyore. It was absolutely not.
So the depression runs deep.
Right.
Right.
So, you just instinctively saw a donkey.
There's Helena in her ass.
Got depressed. I'm calling this donkey Eeyore.
Right. So I decided that I should make Finn a donkey, but, you know, we're not supposed to leave for non-essential things, right? So I'm making him a pandemic donkey with the
Is
only
it gonna be a-
with the only colors of yarn I had in the house, which for some ungodly reason were green and peach. So he's going to get this weird little epidemic donkey for me. I'm doing the best I fucking can, y'all. I'm trying to follow instructions. So anyways, this is the donkey's head. You'll all probably see it form over this.
It's not as cool as the octopus though so far.
It's not as cool as the octopus, but it's really fucking cute. And I was going to make him an octopus, but I just wasn't feeling it. I started him an octopus right before I got manic and I couldn't keep track of counting anymore. And I think I'm just having a hard time going back to it. So I decided to switch gears.
Yeah. I'm glad that the first thing you think of when you think of the newborn is ass. So
he's so goddamn cute, y'all. I can't even.
Babies have to be. Otherwise you'd kill them.
Yeah, not all of them are cute.
Well, yeah, no, there's that. Yeah. I've looked at more than one in my day going, oh, it's so beautiful. What the hell? You know, we probably have to edit that bit out.
Maybe.
You say this like you're not the one who makes those decisions.
I know. But this is my verbal clue when I'm doing it later. Like, you probably should cut that out, you jackass.
If in the actually, moment,
you should leave that in. And then cut out the offensive part. And then people have to figure out, all right, so what was so bad that Chris said that Chris wanted it edited out?
A baby with a face.
We could make a whole contest. And
a baby with a face that's so ugly it looks like God put out a campfire with it.
Which is not my nephew. My nephew's not that ugly. No, my nephew's pretty fucking cute. He's donkey cute, yeah. It's going to be adorable. Donkey. Yeah. I mean, he's a little Canadian baby, so.
Oh, so donkey, eh?
Yeah.
Will it be anatomically correct?
No. It's a cute it's not, little.
It's not, it's, for your it's, dog.
Not for a, it's not for a donkey show. Okay.
No.
That's the first time we've mentioned that on this podcast.
But it won't be the last.
Kids will be in therapy 40 years later going, my Aunt Helena made me this donkey. That was the beginning of the end.
By the way, hashtag pandemic donkey.
Pandemic is donkey.
Is now in the Twisted's Tavern as a no context hashtag.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of pandemic ass. I mean, 33 years from now, we're going to have quarantines. It's happening. Just wait, man.
Yeah. Well, they're anticipating, yeah.
Wait, 33 years from now, we'll have...
They'll be teenagers. Quarantines.
33 years from now, they'll be 33, Chris.
Oh, 13 years from now.
Hashtag
math was not
Chris
my strong
suit.
No, I had the punchline, but I didn't have the...
Yeah, just blew the setup.
The year... I found the cat's got it no head joke. That actually happened.
Yes, so that actually happened.
I did find that last week in the midst of my internet wandering.
I don't know how you finally found that. I told you I tried to Google it for you, and the only thing I could find was you asking the question.
Don't Google that damn thing. Oh my God. Headless cats.
Oh, Jesus. I was like, so Chris, I think this is just in your fucking head.
It's not. Well, it was, but
it was.
It existed several years prior. I didn't make it up. I just can't remember where I stole it from.
Right.
So we probably put in like a commercial somewhere in here.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, let's do that.
Four Saints Brewing Company. Four Saints pays homage to the patron saints of beer, Saint Wenceslas, Saint Nicholas, Saint Luke, and Saint Augustine of Hippo. They've become the most recognized patron saints for brewing and beer because of their contributions to and associations with the world's favorite sudsy beverage. Four Saints founders Joel McCloskey and Andrew Deming are carrying on the brewing tradition in hopes of future sainthood, or at least to make some really good beer. Four Saints Brewing Company, Asheboro, North Carolina.
And we're back.
Okay. So,
how's that donkey coming, Helena, after the break?
Is it done yet? That was a long commercial.
It's a long commercial, yeah.
Long commercial. As you can tell, we're all doing great on home lockdown, quarantine, self-isolation, social distancing. So we're going to just keep this going. And it's basically, what are we doing to stay sane? Which is really, really difficult since we weren't sane to begin with.
Mm-hmm. We weren't.
No, not at all.
We weren't working with our little marble.
On the serious note,
it's not just a question of not a full deck. Don't even know where the cards are.
I'm not even a deck. I'm like Uno. I'm like a bunch of draw four cards. I figured out that I love being with my family, but board games is where I draw the fucking line. I can't play Sorry one more time. Honest to God. I'm not even sorry.
Not even sorry.
Not even sorry.
But my wife's one of these super competitive board gamers. Get up and do a victory dance after winning. So she didn't win. I won. I won the big sorry match. So I guess that's the sorriest of the family.
And that's why she doubled your social distancing?
Right. Well, yeah, that happens after this many years of marriage.
Yeah. Well.
20 years this year.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to celebrate by not dying.
That's a good way to do it. You know, you're supposed to now ask me what are Gail and I doing to keep sane while we're.
Yeah, we covered that in the opening with the six feet of.
Well, I was going to say we're both home, so what do you think we're doing? In fact, we had to stop just so I could podcast.
I'm not wanting to touch that, but.
I don't want you to.
Mazel tov.
Yeah.
Mazel tov, Charles. Good for you. Good for you.
Looked like he had lost weight. Well, his mustache is expertly groomed too. Dude,
yes.
That should have been another sign.
Well, that's one thing that is different is I actually shower every day.
Were you not doing that prior?
When I'm working from home by myself, no. If I don't have to leave the house, no.
No, I gotta wash, man. Otherwise, I can't stand my own smell, man. Gotta keep the junk clean.
Well, my back's not that good, so.
This is deteriorating.
Yeah. So, quick, somebody jump in there. So, there's been a lot of good memes out with this. So, we posted one up on our Facebook page, and we'll maybe put it at the top of our info page when we post this. A lovely picture of Jesus knocking on Debbie's door. Debbie, it's me, the Lord. Listen, you need to stop telling Facebook that your health is in my hands. You're going to have to wash your hands in quarantine with everybody else, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't be an asshole, Debbie.
Don't be an asshole, Debbie. What are some of the other... Oh, no, this is interesting.
What was the one about the roaring 20s?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I hope the 2020s are like the 1920s. Okay, here's a global pandemic. Wait, no, not like that. And here's right. A major...
Here's the stock market crashing. Stock market no, crash. Not like that. And all the bars are closed. Well, this is, I just went to my Facebook page and a friend just posted that they did a Zoom thing with their church. And so he just posted, and this is a serious thing. This is not a meme, but I find this really funny. So he just posted, just finished, quote, Zoom with the rector.
Better than Zoom with the rectum.
I hope all will join us again on Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah. You might want to think of another name there. Zoom with the rector.
Oh, did you see the one I posted?
Which go one? You posted a couple of them.
No, go to my page. The last one I posted.
How's that donkey coming along?
It's coming.
Oh, Jewish irony.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Passover canceled because of a plague. Speaking of which, for all of you C.S. Lewis fans, that I saw one that refers to this, that we are now in the land of Coronia, where it is always spring, but never Easter.
I got that joke now. Okay.
Oh, you didn't get it.
You told me that earlier. I didn't get it.
Yeah, like Narnia.
But you didn't give the C.S. Lewis lead in.
Where it's always winter, but never Christmas.
I've never read it.
Oh,
you've never read it.
I tried once, and it's just like, it's not J.R. Tolkien. So.
No, it's not J.R. Tolkien, but that doesn't mean you allow yourself to be ignorant. Jesus Christ.
Right. Really? We got to reconsider our friendship.
I know.
Because of Christian allegories in fantasy literature? That's gonna be the tipping point.
That's a line.
The whole Israeli-Palestinian thing is like
that is a line that, as a Jew, I don't know if I'm prepared to cross or not. Okay, I mean that is just
too much.
I tried.
I also like the ones people putting up floor plans of houses and like looking at the map, planning out our vacation.
Our weekend.
Right. Although the best one I saw was guy took it and then put different wine glasses into the different rooms. So just mapping out my winery tour for the weekend. It did have a friend, and he actually did this and was tweeting it. What he did is he took different bottles of bourbon and whiskey and put them in different rooms in his house and went on the bourbon trail. And went into the room, poured a glass, took a picture, said, okay, I'm at this distillery with this one. And he went into different rooms and had like four different bourbons. And then, you know, posted pictures of each one. People are finding
ways
of coping.
They are doing that.
Yeah. Then there's the dad jokes. I'm looking at one right now. Father talking to a child. No one in Antarctica has COVID-19. You know why? It's why? Because they're ice-olated.
Oh, my God. So Charles is heavily memeing right now. That's what we're learning.
I'm fanning on the memeing here. I love the music one where you've got just two notes on a blank thing and one says either what happened. They were responding, the staff is working from home.
I haven't seen that.
I don't have enough cricket noises to insert.
Yeah, we're going to run out of them.
Out of crickets. Crickets and toilet paper.
Yeah. But it's nice. People are trying to find ways to brighten people's day.
It is, but you know what? So, I mean, like we said, this is just going to be a hot mess because the world's fucking falling apart right now.
Yeah.
I'm really, you know, I do. I mean, I appreciate all the humor. Like, I think it is helping. On the other hand, and maybe people are saying this, but I'm just not hearing it. And maybe it's just because I wasn't ready to, but this just fucking sucks. It's so sad and it sucks so bad. Like, and it hasn't even started, y'all. Hasn't even started. Like, but I'm just, you know, part of me is vacillating between like just being fucking livid at how poorly managed this thing is being and then fucking terrified for people I know and love and folks that are going to be really impacted by this and then just sad. And then I go on Facebook and I giggle for a little while and then I go back through like this cycle, right? Like,
yeah,
it's really, I keep being exhausted and I'm like, why am I so fucking tired? I'm working from home right now. Like, I'm sure eventually I'm going to have to go out. Eventually they're going to pull me into another role that's already been established. And I don't know what that's going to look like or when, but eventually I'll be helping in different capacities.
It's hard to get a rhythm going. Like, I've noticed myself.
Yeah, I finally, like, last week I spent working from the couch, and, like, on Wednesday I was like, I can't fucking do this. So I went and set up, like, a desk area because I was like, I need to differentiate.
Right.
Like, that's my work from my personal life or I'm going to lose my fucking mind. And then, you know, just I've got so many pans in the fire in terms of trying to help other people, you know, and, like, I'm an introvert. But I've done way more peopling in the last week than I remember in a long time. Like, people are like, oh, this is an introvert's dream. And I'm like, except for the fact that I have like Zoom meetings and FaceTime calls and telephone calls that I literally make from like 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. every fucking day. So I've made Sunday my like COVID free day. Like, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't do it on Sundays.
Almost like it's a Sabbath.
Almost like it's a Sabbath.
Right.
Imagine that. Yeah.
Wow.
Who is making masks for?
Yeah.
And do we know anyone who has a book about this?
About making masks? Probably
no. No.
About taking, like, Sunday... JDT reference in there.
Of course it's a JDT reference. For Sabbath's sake.
For Sabbath's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, we should hang out with her soon. We need to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Out
we need her. To hang out with her.
Yeah, we need to for call sure. her and say, like, you're at home. Everybody's at home. When you got your free time?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because she's on the TV. She's doing a lot of talks, because between the Sabbath book, the One Breath at a Time book, and the Eat Dessert First Grieving book, mm-hmm. she's been everyone's go-to about, like, well, how do you make a day special and turn off the noise? How do you keep yourself calm and breathe through this and meditate? And, you know, how do I get past losing loved ones, my work, whatever?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She's been all over.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting theologically, right? Like, cause we're in the season of Lent.
Did that start already?
Yeah, dude, yes. Shut the fuck up. You know that started already.
We gave up
Easter's
health.
He's
a low church Methodist. He doesn't look at a liturgical calendar.
Anyways, yes, we're 3 weeks into Lent, and it's fascinating to me that we're seriously in a season of repentance and what's the word? Oh my God, fasting right now, like in ways that I don't think we've ever considered.
Yeah, but it's also a wonderful time to be Jewish. During Lent, especially during plague.
Just like, wait a minute, that's sarcasm I detect there.
Yeah. Oh no, it's you know, look, historically, it's been great for us when
I might have to play the Christian Asian Europe card now, because I mean, call it the Chinese virus.
Yeah.
Having to educate people that you wouldn't think you'd have to educate about why that's a dangerous thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and we're getting ready to do. Gail's going to. She can't do the Seder for the students at Wake Forest because they're closed down. She is going to Zoom our home Seder.
Nice.
She's a little concerned because the limit for people who can join the Zoom is 300.
Oh.
So she's not sure if she might have to do a second one.
Oh, shit. That means no brisket this year.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're going to have a party when this shit is over, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like a party.
Oh, for sure.
So, awake, depending on how it goes. I mean,
well, fortunately for you guys, you don't know anybody who's almost in their 60s who has an underlying health condition. So,
yeah, I got underlying health conditions. It's not 60.
Well, I have underlying health conditions, and I'm a year away.
Well, you know, you got time to catch up.
Yeah.
Stay in your fucking house, Charles. You'll be fine.
I know.
Stay in your fucking house.
You don't have to tell me twice.
I know.
I never leave the house even under normal conditions.
So I'm all over the place right now because my brain's all over. I noticed halfway.
How's that donkey coming?
It's coming. Okay. Coming along.
Don't distract her. She's doing a good enough job on her own.
No, this is fun. This is where I get to.
Well, now I don't have to count now. I'm at a point where I don't have to count.
Poke the angry donkey. Poking the angry donkey.
So all this hoarding that's been going on, right? Like with the toilet paper and the canned goods or whatever. I realized, like, on Friday that without thinking about it, I had started self-rationing.
What does that look like?
I didn't hoard. Like, I was like, I am not, like, I know I'm one person, but I will not add any pressure to the supply chain. Like, I will not do it. I will not go, but, you know, I've got food in the house. And I realized, like, so this is a benign example, but like I'd bought like a thing of peanut butter cups from Trader Joe's the last time I went. And normally like I eat however many fucking peanut butter cups I want, right? Like I eat one, I eat 10, I eat whatever. I realized every day last week I ate three and stopped.
Very Trinitarian. I mean.
Yeah, of course.
And like,
one for the fodder, one for the butter. One for the Holy Spirit.
Right. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, I hadn't even been thinking about it. Like, I realized, like, I'm eating, like, one meal a day and then having, like, some snacks. Like, I without even thinking about it, was like, oh, shit, crisis mode. Like, stop. And like my mom was like, maybe it's like wartime epigenetics. And I was like, that's fucked up, mom, but maybe like, I don't know. Weird. But you know, I am legitimately worried. Like I'm worried about the coronavirus for sure, but I'm really worried about kind of the economic impacts and the impact on our folks that are low income and already have like difficulty finding things. Like I really feel like it's a moral obligation, like not to add to that stress. Like I agree
with that.
Yeah.
And being cautious not to purchase WIC items that can be purchased with WIC. Right.
Yeah. I posted about that yesterday, but you know, so to me, I'm like, well, I shouldn't be buying more. I should just use less for the time being. It was a weird realization.
Yeah. Well, it's all weird. Yeah. I think we're all like exactly what you're talking about. There's so many different things that come to mind and you see whether you're on social media or not. And some of it's humorous, some of it's scary, and you know, you're just bouncing back and forth.
Yeah.
You know,
I
did not watch any news programs. You know, mm-hmm. I binged Forged in Fire. You know, Gail will come in at 9 o'clock when we usually watch Rachel Maddow, and she's like, "You're not watching Rachel?" I'm like, "Not this week.
This guy's making a tomahawk."
You know? Yeah. I mean, these guys are beating on metal that they just pulled out of fire. This is pretty cool.
This is pretty cool.
You know? So, Helene, you should take up blacksmithing during this time.
I would love to. Ooh. I looked into blacksmithing classes at one point, but the nearest ones are like an hour and a half or 2 hours away.
How's that donkey coming?
Okay, so let's talk about toilet paper. Chris, why don't you tell us your best ass wiping story?
So just because
it does not require any. Here's just so everybody knows, no toilet paper was wasted in the performance of these acts that Chris was about to describe.
Let's see, 17 years prior. No, yeah, about 17 years prior to today's date. Now, I discovered this week I live with a stoic. My wife, the hardcore health care worker that she is, she's like, "Well, there's nothing we can do to change it, so you know we'll be okay."
Yeah,
like, you know, we can't do anything about it. No sense in getting worried about it. I'm like, well, that's momentum mori, dear. Who? What? Never mind. But you want to hear the story of alternative toilet paper?
Mm-hmm.
So my first U.S. appointment as a pastor, and we, you know, it's been there at the church for maybe a month or two. I forget. It was still hot, which is very important to remember. And my wife and I had never bought furniture the whole time we were married at this point, which at that point had been more about 3 or 4 years. And because we lived overseas, we lived in college housing, you know, it was no sense in buying adult type big people furniture. And so we finally bought a living room set, and it was scheduled to be delivered. And I was going to be there to receive it. It was my day off and let the people in. And we had a dog at the time, Jack, which he's a good dog. I told him, you know, he's in a box. He's dead. But we have his ashes. That's a whole other story of my $136 Jack in the box. But I had to close Jack out in the rest of the house because he liked to attack people, because he basically was a vicious little shit that hated everybody but my wife, which is the only reason he lived as long as he did. And, I opened the door up. It's cool in the house. Got the air conditioning on. While the guys were carrying in the furniture, and then lo and behold, the door swelled shut that opened up onto the rest of the house. And I'm like, oh God, Jack, I gotta get that open. You know, I was like, I'll just wait and, you know, cool off, and eventually the door will be unswollen and I can, you know, get it out. Didn't work that way. God had different plans. Cause about the time that those guys cleared my yard, I had the urge to shit like I was losing my fucking mind. You know, that whole scene in Dumb and Dumber, that's what was going to happen. At this point, I realize I'm in my boxer shorts, a pair of socks, and a t-shirt. I can't get into the rest of the house. I go outside the house trying to get through other doors to find that my wife locks literally everything, no matter if there's a person home or not. So I can't get in the house. And the whole time I've got the bubble gut going, like, I got to fucking shit. I have parishioners across the street that, I don't know if they've ever heard this story, but, you know, I'd only been there a couple months. You can't just run over to your church member's house in your underwear and socks and go, I need to shit. I'm not going to lie. This is not going to sound good. This is going to require multiple matches. I will not be able to look you in the face for at least 6 months. Kind of shit. And so then the thought is, well, it's coming. It's coming at this point. And we're crowning. And so, you know, I'm looking around our yard. There's not a bush, not a fucking tree that's not got, like, neighbors watching me where I can just dump. And I'm not going to be. It's not going to be quick. It is it. I made some bad diet decisions before that, where this happened, obviously. So I go to the backyard. I'm looking around. I can't find anything to take. You know, surprisingly few places to shit outside legally. And I see, our outbuilding is ajar. I'm like, at this point, it's at least, you know, I'll clean it up. It'll be horrible, but I'll live. I get in there and it's like, lo and behold, there's a 10-gallon bucket empty. And I'm like, hell yeah. So, you know, I you know, squat and basically pass what I think is the equivalent of 2 minutes of hot dog water followed by a can of V8 juice, something along that, splattering in a 10-gallon bucket. I mean, we're talking the cherubim, the seraphim. I mean, I saw angels. I was transfigured. The heavens descended from heaven with four corners, the New Jerusalem. I had taken the most epic shit in my life at this point. And but after,
wait, there's more.
Wait.
But after this poop, you know, as reality settled in and as Jesus said, no, Peter, we have to leave the mountaintop to go back into the valley. I realized there wasn't anything that I thought I could find to wipe my ass on. This was definitely not one I wanted to walk back in the house with. So, you know, I'm looking around and I saw this cloth, this rag. I'm like, well, yeah, at any point in a storm, I don't know. So I go to wipe my ass. And just as I'm touching cotton to my balloon knot, I realized that I smell the faint smell of gasoline. But it was too late. I had fucked up royally. So the feeling of euphoria was short-lived. Every time I farted for like the next week, I whistled. I mean, it was bad.
You could have caught the house on fire. You should have farted on a match.
My wife.
Yeah, he would have burned the house down.
When I got home that day. She's like, well, I saw the furniture's here. I was like, yeah. How was your day?
Interesting.
I could have led with many things like, no, the furniture is lovely, dear. And it was a great selection you made. I went like, I wiped my ass with the rag that we cleaned the lawnmower off with. Yeah, you couldn't do that.
No. Oh, God. I love that.
Does
that
make
story.
Everything better?
COVID-19. So,
the moral of the story is,
You can't wipe your ass with everything.
Well, you may be social distancing and self-isolating. It could always be worse.
It could always
wipe
be
your
worse.
Ass with a gas rag.
Don't get too creative out there, folks.
Yeah. Now remember, he is a professional. Kids, don't try that at home.
Don't try that at home.
I have the worst luck when I'm first at churches. I don't know why it is.
First home visit, first.
We'll just make it a Chris episode. Is that what we're doing now?
Well, have I ever told you about my first hospice? No, not my first death. It wasn't my first death. Oh, that was a fucked up story too, but I'm not going to tell that one.
It's my life's goal to get in that hole.
Yeah, that was.
That's my favorite story.
There's
a hashtag, non-context hashtag.
Life's goal is to get in that hole. That was a Jaeger night.
It's ironic, Jaeger not and a sexual story, actually.
No, what's that wild juice, you know, with a bunch of frozen strawberries and basically frozen strawberries and like Everclear.
Like hunch the punch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We call it something different in Ohio.
See, we usually make it with lime juice, frozen lime juice, and frozen lemon juice, and it's called Green Death.
Yeah, it's kind of, we use like up in Ohio, we used orange juice. No, was it orange juice? I think it was. It was like orange juice, beer, and Everclear or something. Yeah, it was bad. Ooh, it was really Yeah, it was not designed for pleasure drinking. That's for sure.
Has there ever been a story involving the word, the reference to Everclear ever ended well?
No, although my brother was looking for rubbing alcohol to clean his baby's umbilical cord today, and he was having trouble finding any, and I was like, well, do you have Everclear in the house? And he was like, no, Helena. Like, no, we don't have Everclear in our house. And I was like, well, shit, that would have worked. But anyways, so I had started drinking at like 10 that day because it was finals week, and the water pipe broke outside of my friend's house. So the city got called out to like repair it because it was like the main line to the street. So it wasn't a like we can wait till tomorrow situation. So these repairmen had dug a hole that was probably 6 feet deep in the ground around the pipe. And my drunk ass went out front and said, I would like to go down there, please. And they said, no, ma'am, we cannot let you do that. And I said, but I want to be able to say that I was in the street. And they were like, we don't care what you want to say. You're not allowed in this hole. And I said, well, what paperwork do I have to sign to waive you of responsibility?
It's so very Jewish at this phrase.
So I get into that
Let me get my lawyer.
They were like, there's no paperwork you can sign that will persuade us to let you get in this hole. And I stood there, put my arms in the air, and I said, but my life's goal is to get in the hole. I think I puked shortly after that, but yeah. My life's goal. Worthy. My life's goal was to get in that hole.
You wanted to be with all the other Ninja Turtles, didn't you?
Right. Yeah. Oh, I loved that show. Yeah.
Well, I feel we've all shared Charles.
Oh, nothing ever funny ever happens to me.
Oh, that can't be true.
Yeah. Well, if we keep the clergy, theme going.
My story was not a clergy theme story. That was
technically mine.
I don't drink to that point. So
a decade.
I was sober.
I'm referring to Helena's story.
Okay, tell the chauffeur story so people know that I'm a fucking retard when I'm not drunk too. Oh, that was really edit
that story. I can't tell it. I feel we've told that story
on this podcast.
I can't remember.
I think we have.
Oh, well, then never mind. All right, y'all. I'm not just ridiculous when I'm drunk.
No,
that is very true.
No, you're funny, sober, and the chauffeur story.
See, it is my story, but you tell it better, and you were there for it. So
Mrs. Rabbi, Dr. Mrs. Future Rabbi Jew had done, I think it was Sukkot? I forget.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was Sukkot,
and she came in and done a service of sorts at the hospital chapel, and afterwards, you know, with when we have special guests or just because it's Gail
she's always special.
She was there, and so people had to get together and eat, you know, and so that our chaplaincy department threw this kind of whirlwind lunch with, you know, subs from Subway and, you know, several supervisors, chairs of various programs, and a number of us.
Rabbi Etten was there.
There's the
Rabbi Etten, who's good friends with my grandfather. Yeah.
I didn't know that bit. That just kind of makes it a little darker.
it's just that little extra shade to it, doesn't it?
So I should also start this point where there's a few of us chaplains in there, and then there started just kind of a general conversation over lunch about Sukkot and just the practices and how persons can celebrate it rather. And I feel at this point I should say that we had a dear friend, too classy to listen to this tripe, but who he owned a shofar. He's actually Unitarian, but he owned an actual shofar, and it was in his office, part of his, you know, office he shared.
He hung out with a lot of Reconstructionist Jews when he lived in Colorado. Right.
So William has a shofar. That's important. I should have started with that. But we're all talking, and then Gail's mentioned that, like, you know, that, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I'm Methodist, not Jewish, but various instruments are used to celebrate Sukkot. And I think she listed off a series of instruments. I don't even know if the shofar was mentioned. So it's real serious kind of intellectual conversation, and people are munching, and there's, you know, all these higher-ups in our department. And then Helena, just out of the blue, when they're talking about the damned instruments, is like, you know, sometimes when nobody's around the office, I blow William's shofar.
The whole room shut up.
Gail is a stone-faced killer. Didn't even crack. Didn't even so much as raise an eyebrow. Went right on talking. I'm just like, I was okay until I looked over at our buddy Aaron, and he was just about to vibrate out of the chair, convulsing with trying not to laugh. All the dignitaries, they're looking at the ground going like, there's really no way to
respond. Really?
Yeah, can't spin that this one.
Except for Francis. Francis gave, yeah. Okay.
I think I tried nothing to backtrack.
Nothing else was.
I couldn't.
Oh, you tried and you just. No. Sometimes when no one's in the office, I blow William Schofield. Yeah, repeating it doesn't make it sound any less sexy.
Repeat it's not helpful.
I don't think it was till the third repeat where Helena's like, does sound sexual.
Now hear what I just said.
Which is crazy because
blowing the Unitarian shofar. Oh, that's what it took, huh?
I was talking to Martin. He was trying to come out.
She's outside. When did that happen?
Just now.
We're on cigarette two, because nothing gets the shofar taste out of your mouth quite like Camel Crushes.
Right?
I have to take your word for it. I've never blown a shofar.
Or a
Camel Crush.
Many experiences I haven't had tonight on the podcast.
Oh, my word.
You got any words of wisdom?
I've got words of wisdom here. So, again, just randomly selected for no particular reason. But these come from the German poet, essayist, and literary critic Heinrich Heine.
randomly selected for no particular reason. Right.
That sounds like the worst German porn star right there.
Heinrich Heine.
Heinrich Heine.
I think those are Heinrich Heine. Words of wisdom.
Yeah. You know, lead in the
now, way now never... our German speaking listeners will probably correct my pronunciation. It's probably Heine or something like that. But
yeah,
anyway,
this is for Scheiste at this point.
Yeah. So he said, I fell asleep reading a dull book and dreamed I kept on reading, so I awoke from sheer boredom.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Well, I'm Chris Henson, and I'm still the Gentile.
I'm Helena Epstein, and I'm still the ampersand of reason.
And I'm Charles Breton, and I'm still the Jew.
Join us on our next episode, where you can listen to a Jew and a Gentile walk into a bar mitzvah. Wishing I could change
the things that I... Special thanks to Ethan Sapphire for letting us use his song Shoulda Woulda Coulda as our theme. You can download Ethan's music at soundclick.com/Ethan Sapphire. Get back the hand if you didn't like the deal. You made your choices, you gotta live with that. If you learn from all the mistakes, you'll get